Morning. Today's daf in Menachos is daf Yud. We are in Tes Amud Beis. We are halfway down on the Amud. Yosef Rapapa are the two dots. Now, although the Gemara put two dots over there, the truth of the matter is the Gemara should not have put two dots over there. This is really a continuation of the previous discussion. But okay, it's a great marker in terms of all of us going right to the same spot. Two dots on Tes Amud Beis, halfway down the Amud, about five lines after the lines get wide. The Gemara is going back to Machlokas Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish that we saw yesterday. If you remember, in the course of yesterday's daf, we had three Machlokas in between Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. All of them are found on Tes Amud Aleph. To review, the first Machlokas between the two is, what if the Belila, Yitzik and Belila are done? Yitzik and Belila, as I explained yesterday, are two different terms describing the pouring of the oil in the Mincha. More details of that later in the Masechta. But anyway, Yitzik and Belila are done to the Mincha outside of the Azara. Is that okay or is that not okay? So so Rav Yochanan says, Psula Reish Lakish Amakshera, so it's a machlokas between the Amoraim, and the Gemara goes on to explain the machlokas, and the Gemara quotes that the Braisa supports Rav Yochanan, that Belila cannot be done outside of the Azara. Fine. Second machlokas between the two is, what happens if a Mincha... Excuse me. What happens if a mincha is chaser? It loses some of the flour or the oil. Before the kmitza is done. So Rav Yochanan says, okay, not the end of the world. So just get more flour. Go home, get more flour, replenish it, and you're fine. And Reish Lakish says, no, you can't do that. And once again, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah Negaim, that clearly supports the side of Rav Yochanan. And the third machlokas between the two is, let's say he did the kmitza, everything was good, and then between the taking of the kmitza and the burning of the kmitza, so then you lost some of the flour of the shirayim. What becomes of that? Can I still go through and offer the kmitza? So Rav Yochanan says, yes, you can. Makter komet aleim. And Reish Lakish says, no, you cannot. And so what we had over here is three machlokas in between the two, and we ended off yesterday with a braisa that seemingly supports the position of Rav Yochanan. And the Gemara tried to reinterpret that Braisa. One of the suggestions that Gemara made yesterday in terms of the Braisa that seemingly is supporting Rav Yochanan is maybe the Braisa is not talking about your standard mincha, but maybe it's talking about a minchas omer. And why would that change anything? Well, minchas omer we know is a minchas sibur. We know that in general carbon sibur we have rules that are somewhat more relaxed. For example, you can bring a carbon sibur in a state of tumah. So maybe the Braisa is talking about a carbon sibur, a mincha sibur, specifically the mincha somer, and maybe that's why the Braisa was being more makel, perhaps. The Gemara pointed out, and now we're just going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. So Yosef Rapapa v'kamalash maiso, so Rapapa went over the entire sugya that we just went over, and to that Rapapa said, Amalei Rav Yosef bar Shmaila Rapapa, milo askin Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish b'mincha somer detzibur, he upligi. Meaning, how do you know the limitations of the machlokes between Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish? You think Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish are only talking about a minchas yachid? I don't know. Or better stated, I don't think so. Meaning that they are debating every single mincha, whether it be a minchas yachid or whether it be a minchas sibur. And still they're debating what would happen if we lost some of the shirayim between the kmitza and the haktara. Okay. Amar Rav Malkiel. Continuing in the Gemara, a statement by Rav Malkiel. Numerous times throughout Chas, the Gemara notes that there are two Amoraim, one is Rav Malkiel and the other one is Rav Malkiel, and sometimes because the names are so similar, so sometimes it gets a little confusing in terms of which halacha was said by whom. But for us in today's daf, no confusion, very clear, Rav Malkiel makes the following statement. Look, let's take a look at two braises together. Tanachat and one braise that says, Misalsa. Misalta tells us that it's from the solos, from the fine flour. Sheim chaser kol shehu psula. And the Braisa says very clearly that if there's any chisaron, any deficiency, that's it, no good, disqualification. And mishmana, sheim chaser kol shehu pasal. And from the oil, and the same thing. That if you miss any of the oil, if some of the oil gets lost, so that's it, it's disqualified. Braisa number one clearly is of the position that chaser, that if it becomes deficient, it's disqualified, both on the flour and on the oil. Tanya Irach, let's take a look at another braisa together. Vanoseres min mincha prat lemincha shechasra. Excluding a mincha that becomes deficient, or let's say in our terminology, chaser. V'shechaser komtza v'shelo hiktir milavonosa. So basically what we just learned in these two braises together is the halacha of chaser. And these two braises are generating the halacha of chaser from two different psukim in the Torah. And so it only begs the question, why do I have two drushes that teach me the halacha of chaser? So Rav Malkiyahu now is going to theorize. And he's gonna offer the following thesis. Klum trei krai b'chaser shlamali. First the question. How come chaser twice? How come two drushes? So chalem incha shechaser kodem kemitza v'chal l'shiram shechaser ben kemitza l'aktara. So Rav Malkiyahu makes the following suggestion. Oh, I know. One is there to teach me that if it's chaser before the kemitza is actually done. And the first drush is there to tell me that it becomes pasul. Now, if you remember from yesterday's daf, machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. What happens if you lose some of the flour before kemitza? Rav Yochanan says it's fine. Meaning, currently it's not fine. But go home, get some more flour, replenish that which is lost, and you're good. So what Rav Malkiyahu is suggesting now is that the first brisa is there to teach us that if you lost any of the mincha before kemitza is done, it's pasul. And that obviously would go against Rav Yochanan's position from yesterday. And then the second drasha is telling me that if I have a chaser of the shirayim between kemitza and haktara, so then that's going to be pasul. Meaning that's the second drasha. And if that's the correct way to understand the second drasha, that goes against Rav Yochanan's other position. Rav Yochanan says that if I lost any of the shirayim between the kemitza and the haktara, so Rav Yochanan says, you're still going to go through with the burning of the kemitza. Well, if we're now understanding the second drasha to tell me that this is chaser and this is therefore disqualified, so this is going against Rav Yochanan. So the way Rav Malkiyahu now is darshaning the psukim, it is both going against Rav Yochanan's first and second position. And the Gemara makes exactly this point to you after the Rav Yochanan mitarvayu. So it's a kashan Rav Yochanan both. Lo, then the Gemara says you don't have to say that. There is another way to interpret both drashas. Let's go one by one. Chad, the one way to interpret the first drasha is chad lemincha shechaser kodem kemitza. Now, in other words, the first drasha is telling us that if I lost any of the flour before the kemitza, so the brisa says pasul. But you know what the brisa means? The brisa means currently pasul. However, di mevi mi beso v'yamalenu in v'ilo lo. Meaning, but it's not the end of the world. You go home, get more flour, replenish the flour that was lost, and then you're fine. So that's how we can understand the first brisa. Admittedly, it is a little bit difficult because the word pasul generally does not mean temporarily disqualified. It usually means disqualified. But okay, but there still is a way to recover for Rav Yochanan. And v'chad l'shirayim shechaser ben kemitza l'aktara. Da'af agav demakter komets aleihem osur shirayim asurun l'achila. And let's defend Rav Yochanan's second position. Let's say after the kemitza, but before burning the kemitza, we lost some of the shirayim. Rav Yochanan's argument is, or his position is, that you're still going to offer the comets. Great. That's correct. Meaning, you're still going to offer the comets. What about the second brisa? The second brisa is not talking about the comets, which you do in fact offer, but the second brisa is talking about the shirayim. You don't eat the shirayim. Meaning, even within the position of Rav Yochanan, that allows you to offer the kemitza. If I lost some of the shirayim after the kemitza is done, what he's only allowing is you to offer the kemitza. In other words, but it's not going to be matir the shirayim. De'ibayi lehu ledivrei ha'omer. And the Gemara points out now that this is in fact subject to a debate. Ledivrei ha'omer shirayim shechaser ben kemitza l'aktara matir komets aleihem. Meaning, according to Rav Yochanan, who allows you to offer the kemitza if you lost some of the shirayim between kemitza and aktara? Also shirayim mahin ba'achil. Am I allowed to eat the shirayim? So I'm a ziri, I'm a krav and oseris. V'lo hanoseris min hanoseris. The Torah says, and whatever's left over. Meaning whatever's left over, but it all has to be there. You can't have noseris min hanoseris. So the only time that there's an allowance to eat the shirayim is only when all of it's intact between kemitza and haktara. If I lost any of it between kemitza and haktara, albeit I'm still going to go through with the kemitza, but you're not going to be able to eat the shirayim. Rabbi Yana amar meha mincha, mincha shayis akvar. And Rav Yochanan disagrees. He says no. He says that according to Rav Yochanan, not only do you offer the kemitza, but you're allowed to eat the shirayim as well. It's not a full mincha. The Torah says meha mincha mincha shaisa kvar. It once was a full mincha, and that's enough to allow the komets to be a matir for the shirayim now of the shirayim. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the sugya. So again, just to recap, a number of machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. On all, it seems to be that the accepted position, all three of them, is like Rav Yochanan. One is that if the oil that's added to the mincha is done outside of the Azara, so according to Rav Yochanan, Psula, that's no good, that has to be done in the Azara. Two, Rav Yochanan says that if you lost any of the mincha before kmitza is done, so you're able to replenish it. In fact, you should replenish it. Whereas Reish Lakish disagrees. And three, if I lost any of the shirah in between kmitza and Akhtara, so I'm still, according to Rav Yochanan, still going to offer the comets. According to Reish Lakish, you're not, but according to Rav Yochanan, you're still going to offer the comets. What about the shirayim itself? Can I eat the shirayim? So even within Rav Yochanan, that's a machlokas, as we just learned in the Gemara.
So okay. The shirayim of a mincha is more chomer than the shirayim of the blood of a zera.
Right. We discussed some of that yesterday. That's true. Okay. We are continuing in the Gemara, comments bismal. We're doing kmitza with the left hand, and the Mishnah says, no, you're not. The Mishnah says, well, you shouldn't. And the Mishnah goes so far as to say that it now becomes pasul. And then remember back in the Mishnah, machlokes between the Tanakam and Ben Beseira in terms of whether or not you can take the kamitza that was done with your left hand and put it back into the mincha and re-komets. I make up words. It's fantastic. And re-komets with the right hand. Okay. I'm speaking to such a limited, not limited audience, but in other words, Hebrew, English, making words out of the two. What happens?
The Kohen is a lefty.
No, you can't be a lefty. Kohen can't be a lefty. Yeah, I can't do the avoda. Okay, it's right. The doctor's right. It's the bal mum. He's blemished. Okay, now before going forward in the Gemara, so let's just take a couple of minutes, a couple of really good minutes. And once again, go over the Taharas HaMetzorah. I know that has become such a major role in so many of these discussions. And over here, our topic for today, for the remainder of today's daf, is right-handedness, left-handedness, or that's not really true. Meaning, well, let's assume everyone's right-handed. No offense to the lefties out there. You do wonderful things in the world, but in terms of the avoda, so you're not part of the discussion. But in terms of using the right hand versus using the left hand. So, as we know, in terms of avoda, the right hand is favored. It's easy to say that. It's correct. It's the rule. But with every rule, there are exceptions. So over here, let's go over a notable exception where a left hand is going to be used in the avoda. The Mitzorah, and when he finishes his Tzaras, when he's cured from his Tzaras, free and clear, and given given an all clear by the Kohen, so now he's going to go through a tahara process. It's a lengthy tahara process. It's an eight day procedure, and we're focusing right now on day eight. In other words, I'm skipping what happens from day 1 through 7. You can open up a chumash, Perek Yudal and Vayikra, and see for yourself. But the focus I'm going to do for the next couple of minutes is just talking about what happens on day 8. Uvayom Hashmini. So in Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Metzorah, Perek Yudalid, I start in the 10th pasuk. Uvayom Hashmini yikach shnei kvasim tamimim v'chavsa achas pashnasa tamima u'shlosha asra nimzolos mincha b'lo b'shemen v'log echad shaman. So in other words, first of all, like a good recipe book. So like, in other words, all the ingredients. What do I need? So he needs three sheep, two male, one female. The Torah identifies the ages. And flour for the nesachim, and log echad shaman, end of the pasuk, comments. So log echad shaman. So good. So you know. So three sheep. Flour for the nesachim, and a log of oil. And they're standing in the Azara. Now remember, by the way, the Mitzorah being in the Azara, we already discussed this previously at length. He can't actually be in the Azara because even though he's approaching the end of his Tahara, he's not fully there yet. So in other words, he's only sticking his hands into the Azara. Okay, but not for now. That's not our discussion for today. So the first carbon that's offered by the Kohen is the Asham. And remember, not so long ago, we talked about how sequence is important. Over here, the Torah is giving a very clear sequence of which carbon is offered. First, Hashem comes first. Vesloga Hashem and Veinifosam Tenufa Lefne Hashem. There is a waving of them. Veshachad Esakevus Bimkama Asher Yishchad Esachatas Vesolab Bimkama Kodesh Kichachachatas Hashem Hulakon Kodesh Kadashim Hu. And where is it going to be shechted in the north? Because it's Kachet Kadashim. V'lakach haKohen midama Hashem nasan haKohen al tenochos and amitahir yamanis v'abon yado and yamanis v'abon raglo yamanis. And now the Kohen is going to take the blood of the carbon Hashem. Now remember, normally blood of the carbon Hashem, blood of any carbon, goes onto the mizbeach. Not here. Here, in addition to going to the mizbeach, it also goes onto the Kohen. Some of the blood is taken it's taken by the Kohen and applied to the mitzora, and three spots on the mitzora, on the right ear. On the Yado HaYamanis, literally the hand, but the Bowen Yado HaYamanis, which is the thumb, the right thumb, and the Bowen Raglo HaYamanis, and on the right big toe. So first, oil application to these three areas of the Mitzorah. Now, the Kohen is going to take from the log of oil, log is just simply a volume, V'yatzak al kaf ha-Kohen ha-Smalis. And the oil is then going to be poured on another Kohen's hand, and that second Kohen's hand on his left hand. So here we have in the Torah a rarity, where the left hand is going to be part of the avodah. Now this second Kohen is going to take his right finger and dip it into his left hand. So first, the sprinkling of the oil seven times in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. U'miyesar Hashem l'asher al kapo yitena kohen al tenoch hozen amitar yamanis v'abon yado yamanis v'abon raglo yamanis al dam ha'asham. And then, three applications of the oil on the mitzvah, where? Right where the blood was placed. The blood of the carbon asham on the three spots of the mitzvah, right ear, right thumb, right big toe. So now the oil is going to be applied by the second Kohen on those three spots, seemingly directly on top of the blood. Any leftover oil is going to be put on the head of the mitzvah. Mind you, by the way, there's going to be a lot of leftover oil, because remember, this is only from the oil that's poured into the hand of the second Kohen. Meaning of the Log Shemen, there's still going to be a lot of oil left over. What happens with all that leftover oil? So the answer is salad dressing. In other words, the Kohanim eat it. It's, in other words, it's Kosher Kadashim. Kohanim eat it in the Azara. Okay. V'asa ha-Kohen es ha-Chatas, v'chiper al-Mitar, mitumasa v'acha yishchat ha-Sola, v'ala ha-Kohen es ha-Ola, v'es ha-Mincha, ha-Mizbecha, v'chiper ala ha-Kohen v'tahir. Okay. And that is all but round one. Stay with me, please. We're going to do this again. We're going to go through the same procedure again, and there's a reason why I'm going through all these psukim. All these psukim are going to become significant in the Gemara's discussion. So familiarity will really help us get through, help us navigate through the Gemara. Okay, round two. And round two is basically going to be same as above, with one notable difference, and that is the Mitzorah can't afford three animals. Three animals is a lot. Mitzorah can't afford it. V'im dalhu. So what if our Mitzorah is poor? So over here, it's going to be, starting point is almost going to be the same. We'll start with one animal for an asham, that doesn't change. And the flour, that doesn't change. And the oil, that doesn't change. So what does change? Where does he get a financial break? So the assistance, the financial assistance is going to come with the other two carbonos. Ushtei sorim o shnei b'nei yona asher tasig yado v'haya echad l'chatas v'achad ola. So in lieu of two more animals, one for a chatas, one for an ola, swap out the animals and replace them with birds. One bird will serve as a chatas and one bird will serve as the ola. Now, I would say very simply, by the way, in other words, why isn't the asham swapped out for a bird? And the answer is really simple. Because birds only come as a chatas and as an ola. There's no bird that comes as an asham. Okay. That's your simplest answer. Ve'evio some yamashmini l'taro l'kohen al pesach al moed l'fnei Hashem, and it comes now on day 8. And here it's all going to be the same. V'lakach l'kohen es keves Hashem v'slog Hashem ve'inif asam l'kohen tenufa l'fnei Hashem, again a waving. V'shachad es keves Hashem v'lakach l'kohen midam Hashem l'asan al tenoch ozen amitair yamanis v'abon yado yamanis v'abon raglo yamanis. the blood of the Hashem is applied to the Metzorah as we described earlier. Now the oil, so one Kohen pours the oil into the hand of another Kohen, but once again, Kohen Hasmalis, into the left hand of the second Kohen. And then what the Kohen's going to do is he's going to take from the, he's going to take his right hand, dip it into his left hand, and then first sprinkling, Sheva Pam Lifnei Hashem, and then Menasan HaKohen, Menashem HaShar HaKapol, Tenochos, and Meter Yemenis, Vabon Yedo Yemenis, Vabon Regal Yemenis, Amakom Dama Hashem. Vanosem Menashem HaShar HaKaf HaKohen, Yiten Al Rosh HaMeter Lechaper Alof Lifnei Hashem, Vasas Echad Menatarim Omen Bnei Yonam Asher Tasigado, Es Asher Tasigado, Es Echad Chatas, Ves Echad Ola Ala Mincha, Vechiper HaKohen Al Meter Lifnei Hashem. And then the birds are brought. Truth of the matter is, the Torah really could have conserved a lot of space, a lot of real estate, by just simply saying all the above, with the notable difference that instead of an animal for the Chatzis and Ola, a bird for the Chatzis and Ola. But after that, procedurally, it's all the same. Okay, that was a crash course introduction to the Taharas HaMetzorah, and it's going to be very helpful. Let's go back to our Gemara now, Kametz B'Smol. We are on Testament Beis, we are at the two dots. Kemitza being done with the left hand. The Mishnah says it's not to be done with the left hand. Left hand is not acceptable to do kemitza. How do I know that I'm a Rebbe Zera, I'm a Kra? So the Torah tells us that the Mincha he's going to fill his hand with the Mincha. Kaf Zeh. He's going to put his hand, the Kohen, that is going to put his hand into the Mincha. Which hand? So now we go ahead a couple prakim into the Torah, into the 14th parak of Vayikra, and we're going to look at the Metzorah. And as part of the Torah, as we just went through, so the Kohen now is taking the oil and pouring it into another Kohen's hand, and the Torah goes out of its way to say the left hand. Kan smalis. And what the Torah is doing over here is giving us the exception. And that means to say that any other place that we see the word kaf, and the Torah does not give us an identification of whether it's the left or the right, we default over to the right. Now there's a number of points that we could raise over here. Let's just go through the Gemara, as the Gemara is really going to take us step by step through each of the points. So the Gemara says, wait one second. First of all, you can't extrapolate from the Torah if it's information that we never knew before. So in other words, if the Torah is first just telling us, hey, it's got to go into the left hand, and without the Torah telling us that, we wouldn't know. So the we need it for Gufei Dekra. So first and foremost, just tell me the information of where the Kohen, where the oil is being poured into the second Kohen. Which hand? So the first time it's mentioned, I need it just simply to tell me the most basic information. So the Gemara says, okay, smalas achriniksiv. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it says the word left, it says the left hand a second time. Now, we already went through the Pesuk, and we know that it says it two by the Ashir, and we know that it says it twice again by the Ani. So the Gemara says, ve'ema ein miyod achamid al rambos. So the Gemara says, okay, but if the Torah would have said it twice, so here's then how we would have understood it. We have a rule that when the Torah gives a miyot, and then follows up with a second miyut, ein miyut achar miyut el alarabos. So what the Torah is telling us is to go in the other direction, right? It's like multiplying two negatives. So in other words, here, when the Torah gives an exclusion, followed then by another exclusion, so that means go in the other direction. It's a ribui. And if that's true, that means that the left hand is always acceptable. So the Gemara says, smalas achrinaksiv kan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it says the word smalas a third time. So kan smalis vein acher smalis, which is now telling us that here it's the left. All other times it would be not the left. The Gemara says vein ma'adraba ma kan smalis af ba'am anami smalis. So the Gemara says, well, no. Maybe at this point, maybe by the third mention of smalis, maybe what we have over here is a binyanav. A binyanav is there to tell us that not only is it acceptable by the Taharas HaMetzorah to use your left hand, you could use it by any of the other avodas. So the Gemara finally notes now. The Gemara knew this all along. The Gemara is just simply taking a step-by-step through what happens when you see it once, what happens when you see it twice, what happens when you see it a third time, and what happens now, as we know, which is obviously the conclusion, there are four times in the Parsha that the word smalis is mentioned. So the Gemara says, arba smalis ksiv, treba, nivitreba asher. It says it four times, two by the Ani and two by the Asher. And because of the four mentions of the word smalis, so it comes out now is that that it is only limited to the Tahara Samatsara, and in any other place in the Torah where the Torah says that a Kohen is going to use his hand, so it means specifically the right. Now, how do we get from four mentions to the conclusion that it's only, this is an exception, and all other times it is disqualified to use the left? How do we get there? So Rashi really struggles. In other words, if you take a look at the Rashi, we're not going to go through the entire Rashi, but Rashi really struggles in terms of how we get from four to the conclusion. V'nir be'enai, Rashi writes, if you want to follow with me in the Rashi, I'm reading the last like four lines of the Rashi, the bottom Rashi. It's from the bottom. It's about five lines from the bottom. V'nir me'enai demirdichsiv kol hanach yiser yafin alakan gila lechasmalis avaba'alma kol kaf havi yamin. These four mentions over here is telling us that this is the exception. All other times, it's no good. You can't use a left. If the Torah wanted to tell us that this is going to be true by others, the Torah would have stopped at mention number two. Mention number three. Sorry. Chad legufe, again, wants to tell us the most basic information. V'chad makan smalis, and the second time is telling us that we precedent it throughout the Torah. V'chad shelo tamar mir achamirhu, and the third time to preclude ourselves from the position of, well, this is a mir achamir. So in other words, if we had three mentions, says Rashi, so then this would have been transferable to kol haTorah kula. By a fourth mention, that's where the Torah basically says no. It's only here, it's nowhere else. Okay. Now, Amar le Rav Yirmiyahu, we're back in the Gemara, we're in the bottom of the Amud. Amar le Rav Yirmiyahu le Rav Zera, Abon Yado Yemeniz v'Abon Raglo Yemeniz Techsiv Lamali. Okay, good. We've been talking now about the hand of the Mitzara. But you know, there's also a right earlobe and there's also a right big toe. Why does the Torah have to go out of its way to mention the word right and repeat it as well? Top of Yud Amud Aleph, Chad Lahachshir Tzadim, V'Chad Lipsol Tzidet Tzadim. So the Gemara says one is to be Machshir side, and the other one is to disqualify Tzidet Tzadim. Okay, now, to the best of my ability, and I'm really doing a lot of guesswork over here, meaning what we have over here is we have various zones of the thumb. Meaning, here's what we know. The Torah, when using a preposition, the Torah uses the word Al. Now, I'm just using the right thumb. So, al means on. So, presumably, what that means is on the tip. Meaning, assuming that the preposition al means on. But the Gemara also says that there's a second zone, which is acceptable. And that second zone is tzadim, the side of the thumb. Now, I'm not sure, admittedly, what the side of the thumb includes. Meaning, what's zone number two, which is acceptable. I will tell you this, however. Rashi points out that Rashi points out that we find elsewhere that the word al does not only mean on, but it also could mean near, close to. Rashi gives an example, right? Shin lekaman, right? The Gemara, it's much later on in Menachos. Al besamuch, kidichsiv alav matei menashe, and alongside. So the word al does not only mean on top, but it also means near, or on the side of. So good. So in other words, literally, we know zone number one is the top of the thumb. That's acceptable. And not only acceptable, I'll even go a step further. Preferable. Then there's zone number two, which is samuch, or tzadin, says the Gemara. That's also good. That's the sides. I don't know how far down the thumb it goes. I can only guess. And then tzidei tzadin, the base of the thumb, and again, I would only guess what area that would include, but that's no good. Already we're too far away. Meaning the preposition of al doesn't go so far, so far down as the base of the thumb.
If it's comparable to the toe when you're standing, where the nail is the top. So why not going on the top here and then?
I don't know. I simply don't know. I know there are zones. I know one area is acceptable, one area is not.
It's not on the nail, though.
I don't know. you'll forgive me. I mean, you know, if I had a Masorah, I'd tell you. But okay.
I can just show you. And the acupuncture points connect to the lifelines of the heart, the lungs, the trunk. So it's
okay.
Here.
Okay, good. Good. Okay.
But you get it from the side.
Thank you. Okay, good. Okay, the Gemara goes on. Al dam ha'asham al makom dam ha'asham lamai asam. So the Gemara says, you'll notice that the Torah, when describing the application, it says that the oil is placed on top of the blood, and then there's another pasuk that says, mikom dam ha'asham. Well, why? What does that mean, the place where the blood is? You don't need the place where the blood is. Just simply look; it's right where the blood is. So, what is that mekom? So, the Gemara says, "Hani tzrichet." They're necessary because ikas rechman al dam hashem hava minaisi in niskanechlo. Because if the Torah just simply said al dam, I would have said like this: there's only an allowance for the kohen to put the oil on top of the blood if there's blood. But in other words, if for whatever reason, let's say the blood was removed, no, I can't put the oil there anymore. So therefore, kasrachmana makom. That's why we have the one pasuk of makom telling me that even if the blood's no longer there for whatever reason, you're still going to put the oil right there on the place where the blood goes. And he kasrachmana makom hava minadavka niskaneach aval isa ema havyachatzitza kamashmalan al dam ha'asham. And then I could have also argued that, look, you know what? Maybe I don't want the blood there. Because consider, we want the oil to be applied to the mitzorah. So we want it to be applied directly to the mitzvah by putting it on top of the blood, so maybe that blood will serve as a chatzitza. Now, if you remember, I remember this one. If you remember, we generally say that blood, when it's in its liquid form, is not a chatzitza. So the Gemara suggestion over here that by putting the oil on top of the blood, that would serve as a chatzitza, and therefore it'd be no good, it's a little bit difficult to understand because presumably the blood is still moist, it's still wet. It may congeal a little bit, maybe. Okay. Either way, what comes out now is that I need both psukim. That's great. Amar Rava, continuing in the Gemara. Me'achad d'chsiv al dam ha'asham ve'al makom dam ha'asham uksiv yeminis bedam. So look, Rava says, we have a lot of indicators. We have the pasuk of al dam ha'asham. We have the pasuk of al makom dam ha'asham. We also have yeminis bedam. The right hand with the blood. Al bowen yado hayamanis, va'al bowen raglo hayamanis, uksiva b'shem de mitzora asher va'ani lamali. Why does the Torah have to now go out of its way to tell me by the mitzora that it's applied to his right thumb, to his right toe, to his right ear? Meaning, if the Torah would have just simply said ear, toe, thumb, we would have known right because we always default to the right. Why does the Torah have to go out of its way to say, continuously say, the right, the right, the right? El Amarava. So Rava says, what the Torah is doing over here is that the Mitzora now is going to become the prototype for all three regions. The ear, the toe, and the thumb. And by the way, it'd be great. In other words, if you could just, I'm not going to ask you to do this now, but like write down, like where else in Halacha do we have an ear being used, a toe being used, and a thumb being used. But you don't have to guess. The Gemara is going to spell it out. Yad yad l'kmitza, as far as what we gain from the yad, so kmitza, meaning that by the Torah telling us that it has to go on the right thumb of the mitzora, so now we're going to have a gzereshava of yad yad, and that brings us to kmitza, and that's how we know that kmitza is done with the right hand. Which, by the way, that means that Rava obviously does not go with the drushes that we went with earlier. Meaning earlier in the daf, when the Gemara first introduced us to the entire sugya, so the Gemara had various drushas of how we arrived at that conclusion. Rava obviously goes now a different route. Rava takes us to the route of Gzeres Shava. Rego, rego, lechalitza. Now, as far as rego is concerned, where else in halacha do we have a foot that's being used? And the answer is chalitza. In the Yibam procedure, if the brother-in-law does not want to marry a sister-in-law, so there's a procedure of chalitza. And part of the procedure is the removal of the shoe. Off which foot? And the answer is the right foot. Ozen, ozen, l'ritzia. Where else in halacha do we have an ear being used? By our Eved Ivri. After 6 years, the Eved Ivri says, Ahavti es Adoni, I'm really happy in my current state of life. And the truth of the matter is, I don't want to change. I'd like to stay with you for the foreseeable future. So, that's great. In other words, but it involves the piercing of his ear. Torah says ear. Torah doesn't say which ear. So now we have, from the Mitzora, we have now a Gzereshava that tells us it's going to be the right ear. Smalis Lamai Asa. So now comes out that according to Rava, I know all these halachas, including that kamitza is done with the right hand, and we don't even have to get onto the psukim about left-handedness, the four mentions of the left-handedness. For Rava, all that becomes unnecessary. So the Gemara now is going to ask the obvious question. So according to Rava, where now all these references of left hand become unnecessary, so lamai asa. So then, what's the purpose? And by the way, just from an analytical standpoint, meaning there is a difference between the way Rava's saying it and the way we said it earlier. Because the way we said it earlier is that the left hand is disqualified, which means that obviously we're only left with using the right hand. With Rava's way of approaching it, in other words, it's not that the left hand is disqualified, it's that the Torah is speaking specifically to the right hand. In other words, the difference conceptually, analytically, is whether we're ruling out what you can't use or we're pointing to specifically what you can use. And perhaps in Lumdus, there may be differences between them. But anyway, but back to our Gemara. According to Rava now, who's learning it from the Gzeres Shavah of Yad Yad, and he doesn't need the smallest psukim, so what does he do with them? That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara's going to approach, going to give us an approach. Lamai asam rav shisha bari ravidi lifso yamin de kohen bimitzara. So it comes to disqualify the right hand of the kohen vis-a-vis a mitzora. Shelo tamar mamama makom shelo nisrabba small nisrabba yamin, but makom shelo nisrabba small ain't a dinsh nisrabba yamin. Here's what I might have thought. I might have thought that when the kohen is pouring the oil into another kohen's hand, maybe the Torah does say the left. We get that. But maybe what the Torah means is the left or the right. Meaning, look, generally speaking, in Avoda, we favor the right. And it's more than favor the right. Generally in Avoda, it is the right. So maybe when the Torah says put in the left, it means the left is also acceptable, but not to the exclusion of the right. So that's what Rav is learning from the additional mentions of the word smalis. V'idach smalis v'yad v'regel yamanis da'anil amayasa. Now the other side, what are you going to do with them? I'm sorry. V'idach smalis. Now, remember, there are numerous mentions of left-handedness. We counted four in total. Two by the Asher and two by the Ani. V'idach smalis v'yad v'regel yamanis da'anil amayasa. So what is Rava going to generate by all the other mentions of left and right-handedness of the Mitzorah by the Mitzorah of the Ani? So what Rava will tell you is as follows. Right, remember the beginning of the whole shir, we went through the Pesukim, and I noted that why doesn't the Torah by the Mitzorah Ani just simply say ditto? With one notable difference, swap out two animals of Chatas and Ola and replace it with two birds of a Chatas and Ola. And the Torah goes through the entire procedure. So Rabbi Yishmael says, that is stylistically an acceptable way of the Torah. That's just simply how the Torah works. Sometimes the Torah will give us an entire parsha, repeat an entire parsha, even though contained therein is only one chiddush. Which means then that Rava will tell you, yeah, it says smalis again. That's true, and it says yamanis again by the mitzora. That's also true, but we don't have to jump. We don't have to react. In other words, sometimes an entire parsha gets repeated just for one singular point. The Gemara quotes in the name of Reish Lakish that any time that you have etzba and kahuna, so that's a tell of the Torah that it requires the right. Now, at this juncture, the Gemara telegraphs its punch. At this juncture, we think that in order for the Torah to tell us that you have to use the right hand, you need both the mention of etzba and kahuna. Now look, kidichsiv. V'lakacha kohen midam achatas be'etzba'o v'gamar mimitzara. The Torah says that the kohen's going to take from the blood of the chatas with his finger. So here now, there are two key words that we keep looking for. Kohen and etzba. And we have it. And that is by dam chatas, the blood of your standard outer chatas. Well, okay, yeah, let's keep it simple. So the blood of a standard outer chatas. V'gamar mimitzara dechsiv etaval kohen es etzba yamanis. And meanwhile, we're going to learn it now from the mitzara, because we already established by the mitzara, with exception to the oil being poured from one kohen into the second kohen's left hand, but outside of that, everything is done with the right hand. And when the kohen dips his finger, he's going to dip his finger of his right hand into the palm of his left hand. Which, by the way, we knew that already because he only has two hands to work with. And if the oil is in his left hand, so obviously he's dipping with his right. But okay. But the point is that the Torah goes out of its way to say, Vitzaval Kohen is Etzba'o HaYamanis, which means that when you see the word Kohen and you see the word Etzba, which you have both in that Pasuk, so it means right. So, Hare Kemitza Doksiv Ba'ela Kahuna. So the Gemara says, okay, but it's not always going to work. So let's take Kemitza as an example. So Kemitza, as we know, has to be done with the right hand. And meanwhile, the Pasuk says, Vitanan Vikamatz, Bismol Pasul. And Kemitza, done with the left hand, is going to be disqualified. And by Kemitza, we don't have the word Etzba. We only have the word Kohen. So how do we know that Kemitza has to be done with the right? So Amarava, O Etzba, O Kahuna. So Rava says, okay. So what we need to do is amend our understanding. It's not, I need both Kahuna and Etzba. I need either or, Kahuna or Etzba. Let's talk about the transporting of the Avarim of a carbon ola, a standard carbon ola, up to the top of the Mizbeach. And it's done, as we pointed out just recently, by 13 Kohanim. And each Kohen is going to be taking two pieces of the ola, one in his right hand and the second in his left hand. The transporting of the limbs up the ramp. Utanan, and we're going to learn together a Mishnah. And the Mishnah teaches us, Haregel Sheyamin B'Smol, the right leg of the animal goes into the left hand of the Kohen as he's transporting it up the ramp. Ubeis Or L'Chutz, and the hide is going to be facing outside, meaning it's not appropriate to have the cut being shown externally. And if I remember correctly, I mean, we don't cite this part of the Mishnah, but the head is going to be held in his right hand. The head of the animal is going to be held in the right hand of the Kohen. But in any event, so what's going on? The transporting of the limbs up the ramp by the Kohen. He's going to be holding a limb in his right hand and a limb in his left hand, but the Torah says the word Kohen. What's going on? Ki amrina no etzba'o kohuna b'davra ma'akev kapara. So the Gemara says, yes, you know what? It's part of the avoda. That part's true. But it's not ma'akev kapara. It's not essential to a kapara. And what's essential to kapara is blood and the sprinkling of the blood. But the halacha sevarim, that's not essential for kapara. The Gemara says, v'arei kabala davar ha-ma'akev kapara hu v'ksiv ba kahuna. Now the Gemara says, now we all can agree that kabala sadam, which is obviously essential for the kapara as you're receiving the blood from the animal. And the Torah also says the word Kohen, and v'kasa b'kohuna d'chsi v'ikri b'nei Aaron ha-kohanim es adam, zu kabas adam v'tzenan kibol b'smol pasul. So, and yet, well, according to the Tanakhama, it works out perfectly. Because the Tanakhama says that if you accept it in your left hand, it's pasul. V'Rabbi Shimon machshir. And according to Rabbi Shimon, it's okay. It's acceptable for Kabbalah to be done with the left hand. So for Rabbi Shimon, what's going on? We have the word kahuna. We said that all I need is either the word kahuna or the word etzba by any of the avodas, and we did limit it by avodas which are kapara avodas, but you need to be doing it with the right hand, and the left hand is disqualified, and Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah disagrees and says that the left hand's okay. So the Gemara's response is the Rabbi Shimon kamar, Rabbi Shimon tarte bai. So the Gemara says, okay, but don't ask a question from Rabbi Shimon. This is exactly the point that Rabbi Shimon disagrees with. Rabbi Shimon holds that in order for the right hand to become the only acceptable hand, he has not the or as a conjunction, but the and as a conjunction. According to Rabbi Shimon, you need etzba and kahuna. Then the right hand to the exclusion of the left. If the Torah says etzba or kahuna, right is preferable, but the left is okay. Umi by Rabbi Shimon Tarti. Now, are you right about that? But I tell you, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kamakum Shenemra, Yad Eino Ela Yamin, Etzba Eino Ela Yamin, Etzba Lobaiku, I'm sorry, Etzba Eino Ela Yamin. So, but we have a brisa of Rabbi Shimon that when you see the word Yad, it means right. When you see the word Etzba, it means right. So, what are you telling me that according to Rabbi Shimon, I need both? I don't need both for Rabbi Shimon. Yad or Etzba would be sufficient. So the Gemara says, Etzba lo by kahuna, kahuna by etzba. So the Gemara finally fine-tunes the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So here's the story for Rabbi Shimon. If the Torah would say the word etzba, by an avoda, or if it would say yad, by an avoda, so then it has to be the right hand, and it cannot be the left hand. If the Torah says the word Kohen, so then either right or left is acceptable. For Rabbi Shimon. Again, all this is for the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. So, Ella Kohen Lamali. So the Gemara says, okay. So really what you're now telling me is that for Rabbi Shimon, the real key word is Etzba, or Yad. So then, what is the purpose of the Torah saying Kohen? The Gemara's answer is very simple. B'kihuno. A Kohen can only do the Avodah as he is dressed in his Bigdei Kohuna. A point we've made numerous times. For Rabbi Shimon, it's derived from the fact that the Torah says the word Kohen. You're not a Kohen unless you're dressed like a Kohen. V'hari Zrika, the Gemara still is going to press on Rabbi Shimon. V'hari Zrika de lo kasa be'el kohuna. Now, as it relates to the Zrika Sadam, the Torah does not say the word Yad. The Torah does not say the word Etzba, meaning carbon chattas. And all the Torah says is the word Kohen. Now again, if you're the Tanakhama, that's all you need. The Torah has mentioned the word Kohen, and that immediately limits us only to right-handedness and the usage of the right hand, I should say. But according to Rabbi Shimon, we just learned together that if the Torah only mentions the word Kohen, that means that the right or the left would be acceptable. And meanwhile, here we have a Mishnah. V'tanan zarek b'smol pasul. V'lo palig Rabbi Shimon. The Mishnah taught us that if you do zrika with the right hand, if I do zrika with the left hand, so it's disqualified. Rabbi Shimon does not protest. And based on what we know of Rabbi Shimon, now what we think is motivating Rabbi Shimon, so Rabbi Shimon should argue. Because zrika sadam, according to Rabbi Shimon, the Torah doesn't say the word Yad or Etzba. So according to Rabbi Shimon, it could be done with the left, right? So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye Palig Bebraisa. So Abaye says, okay, but we have a Braisa, and the Braisa tells us very clearly that Rabbi Shimon argues, Yitanya, we learned on a Braisa, keep up a small puzzle, Rabbi Shimon Machshir, Zark b'small puzzle, Rabbi Shimon Machshir. So we see that Rabbi Shimon is Machshir, in the Kabbalah Saddam and in the Zrika Saddam as well. Okay, so we'll pause over here. We have a little bit more to go to finish the daf, but we'll pause over here. I'll quickly wrap it up tomorrow. But so where do we stand right now? So really one topic for today, and that is usage of a hand during doing the avoda. So to put it really simply, you have to use the right hand under almost all circumstances. That's the easiest way to say it. That's really just a nice summary statement from today's daf. The complication is, where is it derived from, and what are going to be the notable exceptions in terms of when would it be okay to use the left hand? So where is it derived from? So on this, you have basically two approaches of the Gemara in the course of today's daf. One is that the Torah keeps repeating the word smalis as it relates to the one part of the Taharas HaMetzora. So when the oil is being poured from one coin to another coin's hand, the Torah four times says the word smalis. How come four times it says smalis? So by deduction, the Gemara arrives at the conclusion that it's to tell us that this is an unusual circumstance not to be done any other time by any other avoda, right? And we went through some of the Rashi earlier this morning to help us arrive at that conclusion. Rava disagrees. Rava says, no, we know that the right hand has to be used at all times based on the Torah going out of its way to say that when blood and oil is applied to the mitzvah, it's applied specifically, the Torah goes out of its way to say, the right earlobe, the right thumb, and the right toe. And for Rava, that's the source that it's always going to be the right. Yad yad lekemitza, rego rego lechalitza, ozen ozel leritzia. And these now serve as a binyanav. It's not binyanav, it's more like a gzer shavah. But like in other words, this now creates the halachic basis. What are the key words in the pasuk that tells us that it has to be using the right hand? So this also was a machlokus in the course of today's daf. According to the Tanakhama, either the word Kohen or the word Yad or Etzba is enough to tell me that the right hand is to the exclusion of the left. It has to be the right, and the left would be pasul. Rabbi Shimon argues. Rabbi Shimon says that if the Torah says Yad or Etzba, right to the exclusion of left, but if the Torah just simply says the word Kohen, without identifying either a Yad or an Etzba, according to Rabbi Shimon, left and right is in fact acceptable. And seemingly that position is true even by Kabbalah Saddam and even by Zrika, and we just saw a Braisa that made that point very clearly.